you start noticing areas in your life where maybe you're playing a little bit small. Maybe you could be doing a better job here. And a
this is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios. And on this episode, we have a very, very, very special guest. And I'm actually privileged to actually be on this channel too. It's a guy that's really, really making a big impact in the world. I'm using exactly what I've been teaching for years right now, which is essentially just content, just learning and sharing, investing in yourself, learning and sharing, and you know, doing and all of the above. So on this particular episode, I'm going to allow him to tell you his story. So without any further ado, we have Ivan Carmichael. What's up, man?
Thanks for having me, man. Exciting.
All right, cool. So we did that all over again. Everybody's watching and they're like, what? But hey, that's what we do, man. You know, the most important thing is that people are going to be able to walk away from this with something brand new, maybe something they can implement in their business. I'm excited, man. So tell us your story, man. How did you get here? How did you get into the crazy world of entrepreneurship? You have to be crazy to be an entrepreneur.
You have to be crazy, eh? Well, I think we all have a little bit of crazy in us. I thought I wanted to be a banker, man. Like growing up, I thought I wanted to be a banker. You know, you growing up in New Jersey, I'm sure you had your yearbooks, and at the end of the year, it's like, where are you going to be, you know, in 10 years? Mine said banker, so I thought that's what I was going to do. And then when I went to university, I connected with two people who had a company, and they asked me to join, and I did, and we sucked at the start. You know, making $300 a month and not, you know, barely able to survive. Some of the worst days of my life, as well as some of the best. We managed to turn the business around, and that's a whole story in itself. But a couple years later, we sold it. We got acquired. I went to the venture capital world, was helping raise $500,000 to $15 million for companies who wanted to grow, and then started doing this in terms of just sharing my knowledge, because I almost quit being an entrepreneur, and it sucked. And again, like some of the worst days of my life, and I wanted to try to help other people not have to go through that, not have to go through the pain and struggle. And we didn't really teach it in school. You know, like, where do you learn this stuff? You know, this was when I was 18 years old, you know, 19 years old. I'm 36 right now. So like YouTube wasn't a thing, you know. It was a lot harder to get access to resources, and I just wanted to try to teach people, you know, to avoid some of the things that I went through, and that was the start. And it started on the website and moved to social media, and now YouTube's our main thing. But that was the start.
Interesting, there, man. We're the same age. What month are you? My birthday is going to be next week.
Next week, happy birthday! I love it. I'm in May, so I had my birthday.
Okay, so I'm a little older than you. I'm going to be 37 next week.
I'm older than you, man.
Oh, you're gonna.
Oh, you're 37 next year. Oh, next week. Okay. Yeah. So you got a couple. Yeah, you got some months on me. Yeah.
Not good, man. Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful. The thing is that we all have that. Sometimes in the beginning, we are a little bit confused. Chances are, if you really have the entrepreneurship DNA and you're trying to go through the regular, good old conventional, go to school, you know, that old thing, you'll be confused. I remember my father wanted me to do architecture, and I changed on him. I said, listen, computer engineering is a new thing right now. That was back in, God knows, man, 96, 95. I was like, computer engineering is the new thing, and that's what I'm going to do. I broke his heart. And then that was the first time I broke his heart. You know, I still went through school, did computer engineering, master's degree, and after that, I broke his heart again. I said, I'm not going to find a job. So here we are, man. So we're in the business of breaking hearts, man. So let's talk a little bit. At what point your YouTube channel, man, you have over 400,000 subscribers here, man. That's the dream of a lot of people that will never achieve that. Let's just be frank. Let's be honest, okay? A dream of a lot of people that will never achieve that. They will start, but they will never get there for multiple different reasons, right? Mm-hmm. At what point did you blow? Was it after your second video, your third video, fourth video? What is it?
At what point did I what? Did I blow up?
Yeah, did you blow up?
Oh, man, I wish. After my second video, I wish, dude. What? Holy crap. Oh man, no, dude, it was a long struggle. I don't know how many videos in it took me. Hundreds, okay. Probably. The video that really helped me take off, I actually talked about it in my book, Your One Word, is when I actually identified what I was all about, and it was believe, helping people believe in themselves. And I said, you know what, I'm going to make a video around believe. And I partnered up with somebody, and we collaborated on this project, and that was the first video that really take off. That's when I started getting really a lot of traction. My best video up to that point had 100,000 views in a year. Now, like 100,000 views in a year is some, for me, that was my best one. It was solid. It's like, man, I want all my videos to do that well. I was so proud of it. And this Believe video did 100,000 views in the first month.
Wow.
And yeah, now it's over a million. We're, you know, trying to get it to two and beyond. But that was the first video that really kind of blew up for me. And I think having that sense of purpose within the video was the first video that was really deeply tied to the core of what my mission is and who I am. And it was great to see that the audience kind of reacted with it. But man, I wish it was my second video. You go back on my channel. They're still up 6 years ago, 7 years ago, you know, 50 views, no comments, no likes, you know, just continue to grind and hustle it out. And when I started YouTube, it wasn't to try to be YouTube famous. It wasn't like, this is my business.
Right.
It was more that I just got asked a bunch of questions. And I wanted to make a video to help answer that question instead of typing an email out to everybody. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm a visual learner, and I love modeling success. It's what saved my first business.
Okay.
You know, I love modeling success. And there wasn't the Olas of the world out there creating this kind of content for me to consume. And so I went to books, and I wish there was something more visual. And right. So I made videos about Walt Disney and Harley Davidson and just people that I looked up to and turned them into YouTube content because nobody else was doing it. But I never thought I'd be here. It was like, I wish I could say like, hola, man, I had it all planned out. I'm the genius, you know, but I didn't know what I was doing, man.
You know, but Gary Vee called you the DJ of this type of content online. Mm. That's huge because when I first stumbled across your channel, it was just, you know, I mean, we buy books, buy audio books and all this stuff, but it's just a different ball game to be watching it in life. And then you also, you know, there's ways that you edit the people's bios and things like that into it and just makes it, you're learning as much as you're entertaining, right? How big do you think entertainment is in educating people about what we do as entrepreneurs?
I think it can be important. I don't think I do a good enough job on the entertainment side, to be honest. I think I could be a lot better at that. I think there's actually model. There's room for somebody who's an entertainer and entrepreneur to dish advice out in a funny, comedic way. We got ringtone music happening there.
Yeah, probably just got to get the thing off, and then we'll put it back on after. Sorry about that.
No worries. So I think it's mostly because I'm not really, like, it's not my strength. I'm not the comedian. I'm not the guy who's making people laugh. Passion is more my ingredient. Uh-huh. Passion is my thing.
You know,
so
I mean, I feel like, you know, obviously entertainment at different levels, you know. I could see what you just said as far as making people laugh and stuff like that. But I feel for people to be glued to your videos, they are being entertained at some level. Because you know, what you're teaching is not really something that people gravitate towards unless they are already entrepreneurs. And I have a feeling that there are people that have never thought about entrepreneurship before that would just come to your video and they start thinking about it all of a sudden. I mean, that's a lot of people, a lot of views on that video, you don't think?
Sure, yeah, 100%. I think everybody has an idea inside them. I think everybody has looked and said, man, I wish I could do that. Or, I got this idea for a company. But I think most people don't have a good environment around them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you say, hi, you know, I think I want to be an author, you know, like, well, what you told your dad, like, I don't want to get a job. I want to do my own thing, whatever it is. Most people don't have the courage because, you know, when their dad's going to say, what are you, crazy? Hola, man. Get your head in the game. Be an architect. What's wrong with you? You know, and it's all out of love, right? Like, your dad loves you. He wants you to be successful. You know, just the way he sees success is get a stable job in a respected field. And that's how, you know, so it's all out of love. But most people have that similar environment where they have people around them telling them that that's a stupid idea. Don't get the stress and don't go bankrupt trying to do this thing. Just take the safe way out. And most people don't have the courage to do what you did to say, you know what? I respect and appreciate what you're trying to tell me. I know it's out of love, but like, I got to do my thing. And even if it doesn't work out, I got to do it and I got to try. And so I think a lot of people have an idea, want to do something, but they don't have a great environment around them. So like listening to your show, watching these videos, right? Like you might be the only person who believes in that person. Like for your listeners, that you might be the only person who's telling them to bet on themselves and do something, follow their crazy idea. And so I think the good news is like the oldest of the world exist now, right? Like it'd be so much harder to get access to that before. So yes, there's a lot of people who watch the videos who aren't entrepreneurs, and it helps kind of remember like, oh yeah, I have that idea. Like maybe I should do something about that. I should bet on myself and have a little more confidence.
You know, in 2008, I started back in 2005 as an entrepreneur. I went full-time in 2006, October. And in 2008, right in the middle of me feeling invincible, I thought I was on top of the world, right?
Yeah. Nothing,
right? The recession hit, and it went bad for everybody, literally across the planet, right? Mm-hmm. And then a few times, I had my folks tell me, hey, maybe you should dust off that engineering master's degree certificate, maybe you could do something with it, right?
Yeah.
You've had those moments before where your family and friends, it's almost like borderline. Do they believe in you? Or they have your, obviously they love you. That's why they're saying that. But do they really believe in what you, have you had those kind of battles in your journey?
Yeah, I had one big one. And after that, I didn't have it again. Mm. And that was when I was 19. When I was trying to make that decision, all I wanted to do up to that point was I wanted to be a banker, right? That's my dream. Hmm. And I'm in my last year of university, and I have opportunities to work at Merrill Lynch and McKinsey, was a strategic consulting company. Hmm. And they fly me to New York and put me up in the Waldorf Astoria and like wine and dine and all this stuff to kind of recruit me to try to join their company. And it was the job that I always wanted. The job, man. I'm talking 80 to 100,000 first year coming out of university, 19 years old, traveling the world, doing mergers and acquisitions, like what I wanted. Mm. Meanwhile, I've got this company that's sucking. Mm. I'm making $300 a month. Mm. And it was just something like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's confusing.
And my parents actually were very supportive and said, you know what, whatever you do, we'll support you. You know, they always told me that I was a Castrilli Carmichael. My mom's last name is Castrilli. My middle name is Castrilli. I'm a Castrilli Carmichael. I can do anything that I wanted. Mm. But my friends, they were all jealous. They're like, "What? How are you even thinking about this, right? How are you not just saying yes to these job opportunities?" Mm. And I was really torn. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know which path to go in. And then the thing that helped me and the thing that I still use today whenever I'm faced with this kind of decision is I think about not regretting my decisions. Mm. And I fast forward to life at 90 or however old I am when I'm like dying on my deathbed and thinking back, will I regret having said yes or no to this decision? And I could live with saying no to the job because I knew I could get another job.
Right.
But I couldn't live with giving up on the company because I didn't know if it would come by again. And so I'll give myself a year. I'm going to try this company and see if I can make it take off. And if it doesn't, I'll go back into the job market. And just that idea of not trying to live with regret it was super difficult at that point, like the hardest decision I ever to make in my life. But ever since then, I just think about it. This thing that I'm thinking about doing now, this impossible decision, am I going to regret not doing it? And then that makes the decision easy. Then I have to go out and do it.
Yeah. Probably you would have regretted it because, you know, jobs come and go. But, you know, an opportunity to create does not always come. And let's talk about family and friends a little bit more. You don't have phones. I was watching a video where you said something about you don't use phones.
Yeah.
You don't have is that the same thing with your family and friends? I mean, how do you live in the world like this not having a phone? What's going on?
Yeah. So I have a phone, but I don't have a phone number or a data package. So this is, it's just like a tablet. It's just a camera and a tablet for me. And I don't use it because a phone really is other people's agenda for your time.
Hmm.
And I value my time a lot. And when somebody calls you or texts you, even if you don't pick up, you're thinking, oh, who's that number? Or, oh, I wonder what does she want? And it distracts you.
Yep, it does.
Right? If you forget about picking up the phone and having a conversation, now you're thrown off, right? And it takes you another 20 minutes after to get back into the headspace that you were in before. And so people don't respect your time unless you respect your time first. And so that's the main reason that I started doing it, to help me be more present in the moment. So, you know, right now I'm talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not checking like notifications and whatever, because this is Ola, man.
Yeah.
Ola,
I got to give credit to you. I got to give some credit to you and John Lee Dumas.
Yeah.
Because once I started following you guys, I did notice how particular every second is for you guys. And it's not like I didn't do it before, but I've taken it to a different level entirely. And the production is the productivity is at a different level entirely.
Yeah.
But I value my time too. And beyond that, I value productivity at the highest possible. Now, let's talk about fundraising, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fundraising. And I'm glad I watched that video that you sent to me, just in case you don't know. If you want to pick up his book, Your One Word, that was one of the bonus that he sent to me. And you mentioned something there about most people don't need to be fundraising. Mm-hmm. But they need to be. Can you speak a little bit more on that?
Yeah, a lot of people use fundraising as a crutch. A lot of people say, oh, I can't get started until I have $100,000 or whatever it is from some angel investor, and then you don't do anything.
Yeah.
The reason why you haven't started is just some excuse. You tell yourself you don't have the money. You tell yourself you didn't go to the right school. You tell yourself you don't have the right family connections. You tell yourself all this stuff, and that holds you back from actually doing something. And so a lot of people who are in the raising money game, they haven't taken any action on their business. They're just trying to raise money around this and understand that people, they don't want to fund somebody who hasn't done anything. So when you are, yeah.
That sounds like a church.
Sounds like a church? The Church of Belief is open. Pastor Evan Carmichael, here we go.
Just raise money, right?
Yeah. It just holds so many people back. It's one of those things that, you know, if you look at it from an investor, if you are an investor, if you had money, you're looking at getting pitched, and I get pitched all the time for people who want angel deals, I want to put money into the guy who's already doing something.
Yeah.
Not the guy who just has an idea. I don't want to fund an idea. I want to fund somebody who's actually going out and creating something. And so it's also that the easiest kind of money to raise is marketing money. Like, you've built something, it works, and now I want to get it out there and expose it, right? And so if you haven't done anything yet, it's the hardest money to raise, and they're going to rip you off. Like, they're going to take half your company because it's too risky for them.
Yep.
So much better is to build some momentum, get something going, stop blaming your lack of resources, because it's really just a lack of resourcefulness.
Yep, this is true.
And start taking action.
This is true. Now, Toronto, United States, same thing. Potato, potato. What's going on there? Which one do you associate the most with? When I was listening to your video, I noticed a lot of the... Now, I'm not too familiar with Canada, but I've been to Montreal, a couple other places, and it seems that things are quite different. But when I listen to you, it seems like you live inside of United States. What's the dynamics between that, especially in the business world?
So I'm based physically in Toronto, Canada. Most of my audience is American. Most of the people watching this will be American. I talk about things that are relevant to anybody. I don't talk about things that are specific to Canada or even to the U.S. Like a lot of this, everything that we've talked about today so far is just as relevant to a Nigerian entrepreneur as it is to a New Jersey entrepreneur.
This is true. You had a video of Elumelu up last week.
Yeah, he's awesome.
That's big. That's huge. And funny enough, before you uploaded the first video, you first uploaded like a 3 minutes skit or something like that. I was just talking to somebody that was trying to introduce me to him because they came out to New York City for, you know, the United Nations thing. And that was my first introduction to him. And then, bam, 2 days later, you have that video up.
There it is. Right. So like, and a lot of people don't know who he is. And a lot of people don't know who Strive Masiyiwa is or Aliko Dangote. Like, people don't know who these guys are in North America. But their lessons are killer. These guys are multi-billionaires and they made it. Just because they made it in Africa doesn't mean that you can't learn from their success. And that's part of why we do it on the channel too. You know, a lot of people profile are Americans because we do it based on requests. But you can learn from Mark Cuban, and you can learn from Strive Masiyiwa and Aliko Dangote and all of these guys. It's still the same lessons.
The concepts are universal, man. Aliko Dangote is building the biggest refinery right now in Lagos, in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a lot of when you listen to some of those guys, it's just fascinating how a lot of the concepts, a lot of the struggles in the beginning are essentially the same thing all across the world. Doesn't make much difference. Now, let's talk about copyrights a little bit. Do you get, with your YouTube channel, you're putting up a lot of videos from different sources. I do notice that you credit as they come. But have you had to deal with copyright issues or anything like that on YouTube or your YouTube channel?
So it depends on the type of content you're putting up. If you're pulling something from one of the big networks like Oprah or NBC or any TV show, they're going to claim the content. So you won't make any money off of it. Most of the videos that I have up, I don't make money off of because somebody claims them.
Okay.
And that's fine. Like, my goal is impact. I want people to be moved by the content. The smaller channels, we usually work out a deal with to help them, right? Like Gary Vaynerchuk, we use his content. He wants the extra publicity and promotion, right? Yeah. Ryan Tracy and Tony Robbins and these guys, they like the promotion and exposure, right? And we do it. It's always in a positive way. It's not like Tony Robbins is wrong, right? And then showing some random – it's always making them look good, right? And also a message that I personally believe in. So it's a win-win there.
So the channel is about edification. So everything kind of works out well.
Yeah, but they have to be – like you have to reach out. You have to know – kind of explain what you're doing, and they notice for their betterment. And now we have a library that they can see. Hey, I'm gonna be, I'm gonna look like that. That's what you're gonna do for me. That's awesome.
Very good. Now this question right here is very important and dear to me because at the end of the day, if it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense. You gotta bring in money. You gotta bring in sales. Even when you're looking for investors or anything like that, you still gotta show sales. That's like kind of like number one and number two questions that they ask on Shark Tank, right?
Sure.
Sales conversion. What is your mindset when you're putting together a marketing message and you want to create sales? What is your mindset when you're putting that together?
My way of selling is a lot different than most people. What I try to do, my entire business model is based off of me creating as much noise in my industry as possible, building up as much of a network as possible, building up momentum, getting eyeballs on what I'm doing, and then I monetize that. So I have a book deal. You know, I work with big brands. I get asked to join boards of directors of companies. So I don't care about making money off of the YouTube channel itself. It's not the main way that I would monetize what I'm doing. But it's basically because so many people love the content, and if I have a message, I can share it, and I'm getting a lot of feedback from people about where the state of entrepreneurship is, then companies want to work with me to create campaigns that help them better sell to entrepreneurs?
Okay. So a lot of my audience are people in the network marketing industry. What's your take on network marketing? How do you feel?
Network marketing gets a really bad rap. A lot of people have a lot of negative things to say about network marketing. There's nothing wrong with network marketing. It's a business model. The biggest thing with network marketing is you have to, just like selling anything else, you have to know what you're selling. A lot of people get into it for the wrong reasons, and a lot of people get into entrepreneurship for the wrong reasons. Like, oh, here's a quick way to make some extra money, and you're selling real estate when you don't care anything about real estate. You're selling facial creams, and you don't use the facial creams. Like, the stuff that you sell, you would want to recommend to your mother.
Yeah, right.
And most people who get in, or maybe not most, but a lot of people, the reason why it gets a bad rap is a lot of people who get in are just trying to make money, and they don't know it. They wouldn't recommend it to their mother because they can't even talk about the product.
This is true. This is true.
So it's a great model.
People can tell when you're lying. They can see right through that, right?
100%.
Yeah. Hey, man, I want to appreciate that. I'm very conscious of your time here. Tell us a little bit about your one word. What's going on inside? I got mine. I can't wait to get my hands on my earbuds once it's ready so I can start listening. I'm more of an audiobook type of guy.
I love it. The audiobook's fire. I love it. Well, do you know what your one word is?
My one word is really leverage. That's what I think of first in everything. You know, I'm always looking for a way to do more with less. That's something that has followed me around for a long time, to the point that a lot of people, if they don't know me well, they may want to misconstrue it for laziness. Mm-hmm. And I work hard, you know, but leverage first.
Before. I like that. Mm-hmm. So the idea, the book helps you identify what your one word is and gives you the tools for people to figure it out. The first section is all about, it's called core, figuring out what that one word is. Some people know it right away, and maybe it's leverage for you. Some people take some time to think about it. The idea here is, though, that there's one thing that is super important to you that when you figure it out, you can now apply it to live a better life and build a better business. So if we're talking about leverage, you should be the leverage guy. And when I come to your website, when I check out the Empire Traffic Academy, it should be talking to me about leverage. It showed me how I can leverage my skills, my money, my resources, my time, my network to be able to build something amazing. That message of resourcefulness should come through in all of the content that you're making. You know, I don't know. I haven't checked out much of your stuff, but like, what's the logo? Does the logo represent leverage? You know, so this is applying it to a business context, but now you bring it to your personal life too. Like, are you teaching your kids enough about leverage? You know, you're the father of two sons and two kids. I don't know if you said sons there. I know you have two kids.
Two boys,
right? A proud father. Are you doing a good enough job giving them the tools to be resourceful and think about leverage and not just follow the school system or what their teachers are telling them, right? And so when you really find that thing that is core to you, you start noticing areas in your life where maybe you're playing a little bit small. Maybe you could be doing a better job here and apply more leverage and make it easy to talk about you. So if I'm talking to my friends about what's the best network marketing thing, if I know they're interested in leverage, like, oh, Ola. Ola's the leverage guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got so much from just that last 1 minute, man.
Wait till the audiobook, man. Wait till the audiobook. It's awesome. You're going to love it.
I can't wait to implement right there. And you're so right, because people know you for something, and you know, when they know you for something, it actually creates trust as well too. They know when they come to you, they know that they're going to get that. They know if they're looking for a way to leverage or create more out of what they already have, their passion, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you, when people come to your channel, they know. They can see, believe, shovel down their throat every second. Eventually, if you didn't know what that means, you start asking, like, what is this belief thing? And the logo, and, you know, it's all about that. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, man. Like, even this topic, we named this thing Deep Secrets for Business and Freedom. It should be gaining leverage, how to get leverage. Like, you got to ask every interviewee that comes on your show, how do you get leverage in your life? What do you do to get leverage, right? Like, you'll get way more out of it too, because you're just naturally tuned to it and your audience is going to eat it up.
You know, one of the top secrets, actually the number one secret ever, in my opinion, is to create more leverage is mentorship, right?
Yeah.
If you have a mentor, and then you pretty much jump through a freaking 10 years learning curve, you know?
100%.
You know, so when I, that's why I love these interviews, man, because it's like never ending coaching and mentorship for me. And that right there, I just had like a big epiphany on leverage, man.
So love it, man. Love it. And break it down more. Like, how else do you get leverage? And I'll teach that. If mentorship is leverage, great. Like, you tell, because you know it, but you tell your audience, and now they're out mentoring. They're out getting mentors. You know, your kids, they're out finding mentors, what they want to do. And then how else? Like, what else can you do to get leverage besides mentorship?
Yeah, absolutely. Good one, man. And I'm sure everybody that's watching got a lot out of it too as well. Let's wrap this up. Hey, man, if you're watching this, please share it with the world, you know, because there's a lot of nugget bombs. And this guy right here has dropped all over everybody. So I just want to appreciate you again. Hopefully you've been enlightened and educated. And, check me out too for your audience. Just type in my name, Ola Talks Abitogun. It comes right up. My channel comes right up. And, Empire Traffic Academy is where I teach everything I know about traffic. Leverage traffic.
Yeah, there it is.
And we call it School of Business and Freedom. It's time to change that slogan to School of Business, Freedom and Leverage or something, you know.
There we go. I love it, man. Thanks for the fun. Thanks for everything you do. It's great.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you too, man. I appreciate you. Looking forward to more.
Love it.
Yep. Later.
Hey, do you want my steps to six-figure PDF? Do you want that? Do you want my free ebook on how to make six figures income in simple steps? Simply go to networkmarketing2show.com. Networkmarketing2show.com.